wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Nice to see you, Damo.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. And it was a strange round of footy.
It was just a horrendous round of footy.
Yeah, it was for a couple of clubs anyway.
Until the St Kilda Dockers game, which was a good game.
Yeah, that was a good game.
And the Eagles in Adelaide.
Yeah, the last two games.
The rest were no good.
Yeah, to the neutral observer, both those games were really good. And I want to start there today, Jim, with Jack Stephen, who was playing just his fifth game of footy for the year. And Daniel Hanbury was playing just his third, and they were probably best on ground, weren't they, Bill? Three votes and two votes.
Yeah. Well, Hanbury was good, and he looked fit. He looked strong. So well done to the coaching staff and the running staff down there. But Jack Stephen, just the love for him from the other players is unbelievable.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, and clearly out of condition. He hadn't played since round six, and he'd missed two matches within that first six rounds of the season. We know that it's been a mental health break from football that he's had, and obviously as part of that time away from the game, his body conditioning fell away, and he's been forced to come back through the VFL, which he wasn't happy about because he's a proud footballer, having won four best and fairest, Jim. But I loved how he just addressed his own issues after the game from a body perspective when he had this to say to the Fox Footy broadcast.
How'd you feel up there? I was bowling early, load all game, really. So still a bit unfit and a bit fat, but that's all right.
Unfit and fat.
Oh, good on him.
There's a patch in the game late in the place, Jim, where he wasn't able to suck the guts in, and it was just hanging out. And it was just, I get reminded, and I suppose it made him even more relatable to everyone than he already is, because he was the park footballer in that moment.
He's won four best and fairest.
Yeah, Damo was just saying. And he's been a phenomenal player. Hey,
interesting, 60 seconds ago.
Interesting Brownlow watch that for me, because for me, Nathan Fyfe was clearly the best player on the ground.
Yeah. Even better than the two St Kilda guys?
Clearly for me.
Yeah, okay.
But 2 minutes out, they're 9 points up.
Yep.
So at that point, they win that game. He's got three votes.
And then...
But then Bradley Hill kicks it out in the full.
What was that about?
With close to the most brain-dead thing I've seen a footballer do all year.
That ball stays in, and they almost can't lose the game.
Yeah. If Ross Lyon, I said this to Bill in the meeting, Ross Lyon sets up, which all clubs do, the two-minute drill. He would stand next to Bradley Hill, set the field and go, right, we've got 2 minutes, 9 points. He'd turn to Brad and go, the one thing you cannot do
is kick
the ball out in the full.
Yeah.
You can do anything else, you just cannot do that.
And apart from Mundy and Walters and maybe Fyfe, the one guy who you'd want the ball in the hands of would be Brad Hill.
Totally agree. But anyway, the Saints were good enough and brilliant, but I will be interested when Brownlow comes around.
It's a good point because
Fyfe, surely.
Just on Fyfe, Jimmy, you've been big on him since round one, haven't you, really? You feel he's put together a Brownlow winning year. Now, whether they win enough games to have that reflected is another matter.
And that might be one games like that. If you go, oh, look, we'll rip him back to two because they lost. You just don't know whether they do that or not.
I think they could. Because Stephen kicked the second last goal of the game and had been pretty vibrant all game, hadn't he? That might have swayed an umpire to either give him or Hanbury the
vote. Just on the Brownlow votes, Saturday night, I thought Dangerfield was
clearly
outstanding. Yeah.
Clearly the best player.
I read the paper. Someone gave Narkle three.
No. Dangerfield, best player on ground, easily.
That'd be another Brownlow Watts here.
Yeah, agreed.
Just before we jump off St Kilda, Brett Ratton takes his own scoreline to 3-1.
Yeah.
Just doing, as we said at the outset, and as others have as well, it's his to lose, this one. And he's doing absolutely everything right to ensure that stays the case with two games remaining.
Carlton and St Kilda, too, in those two games. So they're likely to win both of them.
Carlton and...
St Kilda have got Carlton and Sydney in their final two. So they're winnable games for them.
Yeah, and look, if he probably squares them or just loses nicely, he probably doesn't do any damage as well. Yep. May as well stick with the win yesterday too of Richmond. Again, it was just a grinding win, Bill, but they did what they had to do. They didn't have their big three in Rance, in Cochin, Martin being the late withdrawal, but no dramas, was it? They're just doing everything right. And Carlton was good. We'll touch on them as well on the other side of the fence.
Seven in a row now, Tigers, I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
But Jack Graham comes in, kicks four and gets a vote.
Yeah, and he's had a good patch, hasn't he? I saw some stats before on him. His last 5-6 weeks have been really good, given he got the premiership in 2017 and early and prematurely when he only had his fifth game of footy in that big game itself. But had an indifferent year, I suppose, by comparison in 2018, but is really establishing his credentials this year.
I watched on Seven, actually, Jim, the VFL game before the it was Richmond playing there. And Richmond, have they got some depth? Townsend was kicking goals. They had Pickett, Menadue. They got all these players, and they were outstanding. So there's Bolter, that big boy. So they got a bit of depth there, the Tigers, haven't they?
I think that in the backs of their minds too, they wouldn't mind somehow having Pickett come into the team somehow. The guy they got in the mid-season draft with the competition thought it was a pick for round one 2020. They've got him fit. They've got him right. He's doing some nice things in the VFL.
Good game in Perth. West Coast Adelaide.
It was almost a silly thing to say for a team that's still, you know, vying for the eight. It was almost Adelaide's best performance in that loss. Or at least to me, it was a reflection on what they did so well regularly in 2017, which we just haven't seen much of. They almost took away the inhibitions that sometimes go with the way they play and just go for it. And I liked it, Jim.
Yeah, I did.
They pressured them, and if they produce that in rounds 22 and 23 now, that they will stay, you'd think, or not stay in, but get into the eight.
Well, they got Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs, so they got a tough run.
Two of the half.
That, at Mars, too, the Dogs.
That last game on the Sunday, the second last game of the season at Ballarat, Bulldogs versus Adelaide, that will almost certainly be for a place in the eight, which gives it the high stakes. We don't need to sort of back over too much on West Coast. They're just doing what they were always meant to do.
A team that weren't making the eight.
That's right.
Just they're on not Adelaide. Why wouldn't Darcy Fogarty play more games of footy?
We kept asking the question, Bill, and even when they hit whatever it was in terms of a rock bottom moment maybe 5 weeks ago, the people who we ask and have faith in just kept saying he wasn't doing enough in the standful. And they also then went a step further. Some of them said his body conditioning just wasn't right. Well, he's come in, played a couple of games, and what he did yesterday was the sign of a true player with class. Five goals.
Beautiful set shot.
Isn't he beautiful? But either foot too, isn't it, really, when he has to go on the non-preferred. So, like what he did. We'll go back to Saturday night. It was just a demolition, and the one goal that North Melbourne got was from a free kick. Now, I know that we North supporters saying was that Jack Zeeble should have got one near goal as well.
He should have.
But when you kick one goal from a free kick in totality, and that says a little bit about where you're at right now, and it's a bit of a worry, I think. I know the configuration of the ground, Bill, was of a nature that just had the Cats just primed to do what they did.
But that configuration's been there for 100
forever.
Years.
Yeah. And the lack of an obvious plan B in Reece Shaw's coaching, I think, was a concern, as well as the general lack of lethargy around the ground.
Yeah, he's had two pretty strong reality checks in his time. Perth, West Coast, they got badly touched up, and then on the weekend. Yep. So, and my worry with North is if they don't win the contested footy, they don't win the game. It's that simple. So they've got to develop some method around that, because you're not going to beat everyone in contested footy every week.
No, that's right.
And when you lose contested footy, you can't just then surrender the game. You've got to find a way. But I'm not excusing North Melbourne. They were appalling. But the football that's played at that ground is atrociously bad, and I'm banning it. I'm banning the joint. We're coming back with Damo after this.
He's arced up.
For Coates Hire, Damien Barrett is in the studio.
And still got the positives rolling, Purple.
Yeah, we'll bang through a couple of quick ones. Look, they've only beaten in the past 2 weeks Gold Coast and Melbourne, but Collingwood needed to have that circuit breaker in the past fortnight. They've got it. They've got themselves a chance to somehow finish top four again. I don't think that will happen, but at least they've got some wins back on the board. And the absence of Mason Cox, Jim, is forcing them to reconfigure in a way that they didn't want to do so by design, but it might just provide them with a bit of impetus going into the finals, because Brody Mychek, the more focus you put on him, he just keeps stepping up.
He was great. Have you mentioned the Dogs? You just got something.
We're about
them.
To go to the Dogs now, because they were probably the story out of the weekend. They've got a number one, Bill. Just because you get to them late doesn't mean they're not number one topic. I reckon they were the big win. It was a big win, wasn't it? And it could have been 125 points. The Bombers kicked those goals late. It's almost remove the problem they had with percentage, hasn't it? And it's almost put it back into their own control now. Win two games of footy, the way the ladder's going to fall, that they will probably get in, which does get back to what we said before. Round 23 at Ballarat in the second last game of the season. It's not the twilight fixture, it's the one prior to that, but it's going to be a big focus regardless of what happens in round 22.
No, I didn't see it because the other game was on at the same time, obviously. That must have been amazing. The thing that I always think about the Dogs is when they play like that, it's so emphatic,
yep,
and they just belt mobs so amazingly that you think, how do they lose to Carlton?
Yeah.
How do they lose to North Melbourne? Yeah.
Gold Coast.
How do they lose to the Gold Coast? You think, how do they drop games to teams that are legitimately only ordinary?
How do they lose to any team the way they play?
But then you see them play like that and you think, bloody hell, you know, they might storm and do some finals damage.
And while we talked before about Nathan Fyfe putting together a full season of good footy, so too has Marcus Bontempelli. Others at various stages of that year for the Bulldogs have just dropped away a little bit. I don't think he has. And if he wasn't best on ground on the Saturday night, he was again,
quite
possibly for the 13th or 14th time when it comes to the coaches voting in the best three.
Well, you know who else will be there? What about Josh Dunkley? What he's done?
It's an amazing turnaround, isn't it?
Unbelievable turnaround.
Started as just that young forward, didn't he, in the premiership winning year, and then had a mixed year, I suppose, the year after, and even again in 2018. But what he's done since about round six or seven this year is arguably been the greatest transformation of a footballer in the entire season.
Sydney.
He could have gone to Sydney. Didn't want to, though.
Old man's not happy with
when,
Sydney.
When is that on, or has it been on?
It's been on.
And not happy?
Mm-hmm. Got asked back to something. He said, no, not going.
So what was the problem? Did he enunciate with Mick as to what his issue was with the Swans?
I haven't watched it.
Right.
There's an issue, though, isn't there, Bill?
I haven't watched it.
He's one of the good blokes, too, isn't he, Josh?
He is.
Josh, he just gets it,
doesn't he? Oh, mate. Yeah. He's single, I think, at the minute.
Is he? Okay. Wasn't going there, but...
they do. Because they flick it around stoppages so much, they do get extraordinarily high midfield numbers with the Bulldogs. I've never seen a team whose mids rack up possessions as much as
McRae
gets nearly 40. Hunter gets pretty much 40 a week. They are amazing at finding the ball.
Again, it was only the Gold Coast, but Brisbane Lions plus 91 points. Against them on the weekend. Just the surge is becoming irresistible. I really like how they've got the two big tests now, don't they, with rounds 22 and 23. Big game against Geelong, Bill. You'd think with that game at the Gabba, they'd probably go into that game and win and then leave themselves with the big game at the MCG in the last round to get there. Port Adelaide, for the first time since round six, they're able to string together a consecutive two-week sequence. They've got games, at least on paper, that you'd expect them to win in rounds 22 and 23. What they haven't been able to do this year is actually win the games they're meant to win. They've got themselves back in form, haven't they? And a bit like the Bulldogs, it's in their hands now, clearly, given that they actually officially sit in eighth spot. Right. And you'd think they would stay there. Well, they will stay there if they produce the form of the past 2 weeks.
And well done to Kenny. He wanted to bring in the big ruckman, Laddams, didn't he? He's been very good.
It was a big call, wasn't it? Because Lysette's numbers, at least in the champion data way of analysing a game, Bill, in the week in which he got dropped, were very sound.
Don't look at all those numbers.
No, I know, but that's the week in which they dropped him. Just get quickly sign off at Hawthorn Friday night. Look, that gets us to Roughhead situation, as we said on the Sunday Footy Show, Bill, and also on Triple M on Friday and Saturday.
And you've been saying it, he plays.
He plays. Yeah. If he wakes up tomorrow morning and still wants to go through with it. No, it's pretty much in his control. And all the people around him know him pretty closely, Jim, expect him to accept the offer to play. And I think that's the right call.
Oh, well, you got Hawthorn, Freo and St Kilda all on 9 wins. Cannot see any of them getting there. It's a bridge too far with the other teams above them. Not only an extra win, but also a pretty good percentage. So I can't see any of those three teams
getting in now.
So therefore, he should play. Ollie Wine's interesting too. Yeah. Kicked a couple, had 22 possessions. Late inclusion. Or was he?
Well, it's a good question, isn't it? Because of the way Ken Hinckley was adamant during the week and got angry when a ninth question came about Ollie Wines, and then he ended up playing him anyway. So happy to take him at his word. But
might be a longer negative section, this one, because there were some negatives over the weekend.
Clear some space.
Let's get there.
And Purple, Damien Barrett in the studio.
Well, Purple, when you just need to look down at the scores, there were some pretty ordinary performances in this round of football.
Yeah.
Starting Friday night, the Giants were horrible.
You want to start there? Yeah, they were, weren't they? They got their scoreline was 4 goals, wasn't it? Yep. Which is a few more than another club got on the weekend. But
their coach said it was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. It was. They still finished the round in sixth spot and probably can't lose that spot, strangely enough. Their draw's okay too, Bill. They'll get one win at least out of their remaining two. They've got Gold Coast.
Will they get players back, Damo?
An issue. It's an issue. And even as we speak, I've just checked on Jeremy Cameron's situation. They're not saying he's going to miss, but he has got a knock out of that game as well. He had a hamstring knock. It's not a hamstring. It's a hamstring cork. But look, they're going to factor him in to play this week. But I mean, you saw the forward line with Finlayson out and Himmelberg out, and that added to Cornelio already being out and Kelly being out, so and Ward being out for a long time, and De Boer. So, yeah, I think the question you asked there, Jim, can they get guys back? The answer is that to that's going to be no in a significant enough sense to shape the season.
All right. Well, if we keep looking down, Melbourne were not great. I mean, that's a scoreline that flatters them. We were at that game, Bill. They kicked a few late to get the scoreline looking better, but they weren't great.
Started okay. And Petrarca was good, wasn't he? He got the jumper off Ben Simmons and was playing for Ben and playing really good. But then after quarter time,
And Sydney, their season's fallen away as well.
It has, yeah. John Longmire, it's been one thing they haven't fallen away, but there's been a couple of occasions where, I mean, there was a 47-point loss on the weekend, wasn't it? So it's unusual for them. It's one of those, a bit like Melbourne, in a slightly different context, but one that is similar in that they just want the season to finish, don't they? They've had enough. And just on farewell games or celebratory games, I do still expect Buddy Franklin to be in the reckoning for round 23, Bill, not round 22.
300 games. There's only two teams since the year 2000 that haven't finished bottom four? Sydney being one of those, and currently they're 15th bottom four.
Only one of two, is it?
Yeah.
And Geelong being the other?
Yeah, but Sydney haven't never finished bottom four.
And their good footy this year has actually still been quite okay. So I think they'll be just happy to finish it. Jim, it's interesting that the worst loss of the weekend wasn't the team that manages the one goal. It was to me, it was Essendon.
Well, they're on a par to me. But anyway, I didn't see Essendon, so they must have been horrific.
It was. As Bill touched on before, Dylan Scheel kicked the first goal in the first 22 seconds.
21 seconds.
And then it took them until the 21-minute mark of the last quarter to get their second goal, which actually provided reason for the Bulldogs cheer squad, Jim, to give them the Bronxy and stand up.
21 unanswered
goals. 21 unanswered.
I've never seen that.
Something's wrong with the footy club when that happens, isn't it? And it's a breakdown across several facets of it for that to be the case. And it leaves John Worsfold in a really, really precarious situation.
So will argue injury. Is that a fair argument?
Yeah, it is.
I'll give you a couple.
Bell Chambers.
Devin Smith won best and fairest. Joe Danaher won so they're the last two, I think. But then you're right. Bell Chambers, Hurley, Saad. They're the main ones, aren't they?
Yep, they're the main ones. Yeah. Yep. And
Bell Chambers, absolutely
a reason, but not excuse for 21 goals in a row. It follows very closely the 10 goal loss they had the previous week to Port Adelaide again in a home game situation. So they've left themselves with a power of work when they
got to travel to Perth and win.
Against Fremantle this week. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, there were four games remaining in the season, and all Essendon needed to do was win one of the four. and right now, we're two games into that four-game sequence, and the way they played on the weekend, they were 100-1 to win one more game of footy.
What about Woosha?
That's what you're saying. He's in a really dicey situation, Bill. He's contracted for 2020, but if the next two games go similarly to the previous two, he doesn't have to win them, but if they go similarly in 10 goal losses and in the Bulldogs game, 17 goal loss case, he won't be there.
Can we read anything in
2020?
Yeah, Blake Carosella, who Essendon have headhunted from Richmond to go to Essendon.
It's a nice stopgap measure for Blake to be at the club that is going to have a coach under pressure if he does go into 2020. But depending on who you speak to, Bill, he hasn't been recruited to be that person. Oh. All right, people pump him up, others don't so much.
GMHBA Saturday night, North Melbourne. That's an embarrassing performance for Reece Shaw and his club.
Yeah, one goal, 8-14. The club's been in the AFL for 95 years, Jim, and it's the worst scoreline they've ever had coming in Reece Shaw's 10th game.
Yeah, so we discussed this earlier on. The question for me, if Reece was in this conversation, was when you don't win contested footy, how do you stay competitive? Because if you look at the form line, every time North loses contested, they lose the game. So you've got to have more than just your one wood.
What is it, though, with the North list that he could draw on, Jim, to have as that backup plan if it's not working with the contested?
Outside of Magic Door, I'm not sure who else was missing from Saturday night. That's the pretty VFL, good North side.
The VFL got smashed, Jim. Geelong smashed the VFL side.
David Zuniak had his shoulder, but there might be two. But anyway, that's pretty much their best foot forward. And to be fair to Reece, they have been pretty good in his time, except for those two games. But that bit worries me. Because you're not going to beat everyone in contested footy, especially the really good sides.
Yeah.
You've still got to find a way to stay in games of footy.
Yeah. And he's now lost, personally, four, and club-wise, obviously, four of his past five now. So he's going to need just to have a bit of confidence about him going into 2020, his first official and full year as coach. At least one good performance out of those remaining two.
I'd expect a pretty big bounce back for Saturday night. They'll be humiliated by that, the Kangaroos. They're a very proud club, so they won't, and none of them will tolerate that performance. And I'd expect, I'm not saying they'll win, but I'd expect Saturday night they'd be pretty hard at it.
Good game, Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide, absolutely.
He's flying, yeah.
But not good enough, and I'm sure if Reece speaks, he'll absolutely acknowledge that and was a long way from good enough.
And we touched on the Dockers too, and just Brad Hill needs a mention in the negatives, just given the skill set that man has got to put that ball out of bounds the way he did, to out of nowhere allow the Saints to come from behind and kick the last two goals.
No,
hair.
I mean, Ross Lyon, there's still a live chance for the finals if they hang on to that game.
Because then they've got Essendon week at home, and you'd think they would have beaten them regardless, and then it would have come down to round 23, but it's not going to materialise that way, Jim.
Buses.
We'll get that one away from the Cattery. We got it down there last week. The bus going down there sorted themselves out. They knew it was there, and now we've fixed it. So we're going to take it back the highway.
Leave it there to fix their ground.
No, they saw it.
Leave it there to repair the joint.
How was the car park this week? Is that all right?
The whole place is rubbish.
What do you think? You just get a red carpet down there and come in.
Yeah, he does.
Come in, King James. You've seen him. King James, come in. You're behind the glass. You're lucky.
Only good bit about it is the people who are wonderful. Oh. The joint is crap.
And the drive back, Jim, is that right?
Worse. Keep going.
So we're going to bring it back the highway, and we're going to head out to Tullamarineville.
Oh, yeah. How many buses you got?
We've got three.
Take the fleet. Greek fleet.
Take the whole lot. And we might just put that little small one down at Arden Street as well after the one goal.
After that, they need a bus, no doubt about it. Nice to see you, Purple. See you Wednesday, midweek rub.
See you then.